It's the Lakeland Sports Guys. I'm Tom Carroll, Chris Cox, Coach Dan Spivey in the house here at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. Got a lot of stuff going on here today. The beginning, I guess it's round two of the Focal Music, Focal Local, I guess is coming up. So 6 o'clock tonight, big band right here on this very stage, Chris.
Good times, man.
Going to be fun. But Howard's been making his way around. I had the sweet turkey sandwich today. Of course, the special is the twice-baked potato with a ribeye steak sandwich to go along with all that. And I think I'm going to have that next week. It's been a couple of weeks since I've had it. So
you got to tell your wife or yourself to go get that boar's head sweet turkey.
Oh, yeah.
It's solid.
It's good.
I think Publix is where about the only place you can find them.
It is good. Well, guys, it's a big dance. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about PC to begin with here in just a second. But first and foremost of all, I want to talk, for the most part, let's go ahead and take a look at what's happening in the world of high school football coaching searches that's going on. Because all of a sudden, two more jobs opened up. And you called it on Monday. You said it's going to be a couple more that are going to open up. I can tell. So crystal ball ends up working. So now we have 5 head football coaching jobs that are open in the state of South Carolina. Part of that is Shane Griffin, who was the head coach at Pageland Central. He's stepping down. I wonder how much of this, Chris and Stan, has to do with his son, who was the quarterback, ended up graduating. He's just signed with Erskine. Is there a possibility we may see Shane Griffin as an assistant coach over at Erskine?
That's a possibility. That's a possibility.
Could be.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
And with his son being a quarterback over there, and, of course, one of the ones ended up graduating, the big one, we'll see what happens.
I think it's a good move for Shap, too, because, like you said, you've had 2 Penders for the last couple of years at quarterback, yeah. And now they're graduated. So that's a big deal, man, I'm telling you.
And then the one that surprised all of us was on Tuesday over at Easley High School, head football coach Jordan Dura stepping down from the football, claiming that health reasons, he wants to get his health back in order. He's still going to be teaching over at Easley High School, just not going to be coaching football in that regard. So that opened up the coaching search at Easley. And, you know, on the last, 4 or 5 years, he's been – it's seeing gradual increases as his team getting better and better. Whoever gets this job has definitely got a good base.
Yeah, the defense is solidified. You know, they're losing the big man on defense. It scared us to death the last couple of years we played them in number 10. But quarterback Stoker was only a sophomore, I think. So you got a kid coming back probably at quarterback. He's had 3 years.
He's solid.
He's ready at senior this year. So, that could be one maybe you hire within. Maybe you got offense coordinator, defense coordinator, you're ready to move up and take the position.
Particularly this late in the game.
If you don't, here's the thing, Tom, if you don't and you fill it with somebody in this area, you'll be talking about another 1 or 2 jobs next week. And that's what we're typically been seeing, and I just don't understand why now. I mean, the health issue, I understand, but your health is with you all the time anyway, so it's not something I don't think snuck up on this dude. Mm-hmm. So whatever he's had going on has been going on for a little while. Maybe it just got to a point where he can't coach anymore right now. You would just probably ask for forgiveness and say, I'm going to do what I can. I'm still here. Let me come on back, whatever, and see what we can get done. But that was shocking. When you told me that one, I was like, send me that one more time.
Yeah, it was kind of shocked all of us. So with those being 2, the other 3, Chesney with Clay Lewis stepping down. The big surprise was Leon Bolware ended up going over to Lugoff Elgin. That opened up the Louisville job. And Louisville, they were dominant.
That's a perennial team. Yeah. That is a perennial single-A team.
And that's much like the Easley job. The foundation has been laid down there. And it's been there for a long time. And you don't see much of a drop when they do change coaches. So hopefully they can find somebody. Like you said, Chris, maybe this might be another one of those jobs where they've got somebody already on staff, but they've just got to go through the process.
And then the other one was St. John's with Mike Howard stepping down on that one. So St. John's has been open, since the end of January?
Yeah, it's been open for a while. I mean,
that's one of those.
And the thing that gets me with some of these, like that one, they've been open since January. When are you going to have your spring ball? I mean,
everybody has them in May.
Yeah, you got to get somebody in there pretty quick. I mean, and now with Easley, with this coach stepping down, what does he do? You know the dates are already in place for his spring practice. His coaches know what they were going to do. Do they go forward without a coach And if they continue, you know, and then they bring a coach in, you know, within a couple of weeks, is he going to have time to get together? What's his offense, his defensive plans compared to what Easley already has in place and would like to continue to run?
You hit the nail on the head with that one, because if you already got your players in place, your defense or offense with the schemes you want to run, you got to have one of those coaches in there ready to go, an assistant head coach that's already there. And you got to let him run your spring practices. If you're not going to do that and you're going a whole different direction, you got to hire today.
Yeah, you got
to
get it done.
If you're the AD, you cannot wait to hire this job. You got to hire them right now. And that's why I think that's an important enough job that I think I would let one of the coordinators run this team this year. See how he does, give him experience as a head coach. And if it doesn't work out and you want to change one of the other styles of play scheme you run, that's when you hire somebody. But I don't think you can – it's going to be difficult to bring another coach in with his own philosophy, and we're already at practices now. So.
Well, what you have to understand, too, is it's not – yeah, he's the head varsity coach. But his program – I mean, there's the JV team, the C team, the B team. I mean, there's three teams – possibly four that this one man kind of oversees to a point. And you're affecting all those players, too. The longer you wait, but we'll see.
I would say offensive coordinator, but because like I said, I liked his schemes.
Well, I think maybe we'll know something by next Monday.
Yeah.
If it's another coach that takes that job, that was open, too. So we'll talk about it. That's the way it's been rolling.
So. The thing with Easley, though, is they're going to be in Greenwood's region, in that new region, and with all the new things. So, do you want to really take an interim coach into that environment for the first time, or do you want an experienced head coach going into that environment for the first time?
I don't know if you got a choice. I'm still saying it because more than likely, because like at Greenwood, Emerald, everywhere else, you have an assistant head coach anyway.
Yeah.
And that's your coach, what they would call in waiting. And so if you're already Easley, I mean, that guy's already – he's already had a part of calling plays, either offense or defense. And both of those, defense and offense, were both really good. I would probably weigh more to the defensive side of the ball. But, I mean, you almost have to have one of them would step up to that front until they do hire somebody. But it's going to be the ultimate coach of the athletic director. And I think it's just too late to go out and get somebody.
Well, and that's the other thing is – we're seeing more and more of it. The splits that the head football coach is no longer the athletic director. Now, in a lot of places they are, but right. We're seeing more and more of it going away from that. So who you're looking for, and the coach you're looking at, he may say, look, I want to be the athletic director. If I'm not the athletic director, I don't want to be the head football coach.
Well, it may be like Berea was this year, where their football coach stepped down, so the athletic director said, you know, I'm a former football coach. I'll just take the job for now, until
we can get somebody. Yeah. Right, and that may be what happens.
And I just wonder maybe if, like, I can't think of the coach's name at easily, but like you say, are we 100% sure he was AD also, or he was not?
I don't think he was.
I was going to say, because if he was, sure. then that's his job and opportunity. He's going to already have somebody ready. So.
I mean, he's a teacher, but I don't think he's the athletic director.
Good coach, and like you say, we send prayers out to him if it's a sickness or something that he's having to deal with. Man, hope you get better and get back to coaching what you're doing, what you love best in coaching football.
Yeah, because he's he was a defensive coordinator to begin with, and then ended up getting this head coaching job, and has been dynamite since then. So, taking a look at their website, just out of curiosity, and they don't have it listed.
They're smart.
Guess who's who?
They're smart. Probably took it down once he did try to make everybody guess what's going on.
So, all right. Well, we'll follow along with the coaching searches as we do every Thursday, find out if we can get these other five filled over the course of the next month and a half to go along with all of that. But we're coming to the end of March already. I can't believe it's already that time of the year, which means it's time for the big dance.
And, of course, we're talking about the NCAAs. And we're going to start, guys, first and foremost with Landers men. It is hard to beat a team three times. And you dominated. Well, I would say dominated. But you beat North Georgia twice in the regular season. You get to face them again here in, what, the third round of the Division II playoffs?
Yes, sir.
In this one. And didn't quite go the way that you did. 70-67 in favor of North Georgia. So Lander ends up finish the season 22-10, 12-6 in the Peach Belt Conference to go along with this. But this North Georgia basically came out and said, this is our game this time around. They pretty much led from the get-go of this game.
And this was played at North Georgia,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, it was. And they just played there, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
And you know, and that's I understand why these the smaller divisions play games closer to home, but this is the case too where I'd like to see them maybe not play the same people you played during regular season in the first couple of rounds. You know, you got to get deep before you play somebody, but to eliminate stuff like that from happening. But you know,
I think all in all,
that's the way they're doing it, and they're gonna go look. They'll study the game film. And I see where they went wrong.
Coach is where he wants to be. 22-10 is a heck of a season compared to last year.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. You want to win two or three more games and get back to the same spot. And like I said, this was a younger group of guys that we, you know, last year was a senior laden team. This year, I think, Cooper may be the only one that was a senior, Tom?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, you know, still all in all, a really great showing in the tournament to make it to the tournament first and foremost.
Yeah.
Finished second in your region, and that was strong.
Well, when you look at these two teams, they faced each other numerous times. They're 15-15 going into the game. Now North Georgia has the lead or the advantage, 16-15. It's amazing just how parallel these teams have been. But this is the first time, too, that Lander in the regular season won both games.
Yeah.
That hasn't been the case ever amongst their meetings. So this was the first time that that had happened. What I was surprised with, Bearcats made only 9 of 27 shots from behind the arc. I mean, you put up 27 from three instead of, you know, driving and getting to your bigs underneath. It makes a little bit of a difference. And that's kind of what they did for the most part in the first two games, kind of went away from that.
Well, like you said, you're hot on one night, you're cold on another night. That's
well, and this is the thing you, we were talking about it a little bit off air. I mean, you get these teams that, and we see it in the Division I, the men's and the women's with the this team's shooting this many threes a game and this one's shooting that. And but that's during regular season. When you might play on a Wednesday night and you don't play again till Sunday. On this, oh, well, we played Sunday night. Now we got to turn around and play Tuesday, and we got to travel in the midst of all that. Maybe the legs, you know, when the legs start going, the three-point shot starts going. And you might hit the rim, but you're not hitting the bottom of the net with it.
That's what we're going to see. Today's a prime example because, like you said, New Mexico playing Clemson, NC State winning the tournament, playing those extra games. So we're going to see what's going to happen with this. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting and fun to kind of
– But, you know, Tom, I'm interested to see what Coach Omar does as far as recruiting. Which way he goes with it, because remember his first year he brought in physical players and he worked around it by getting, you know, a couple other shooters, you know, the next year. And then now he's, you know, he's back to where he was. He's got shooters and now he's got to get some big. So be interested to see which way he goes with it. But great season, Coach.
Fantastic season overall. Yep. So, yeah, it can't do anything but help getting that far.
And that will help you with recruiting.
And when you when was the last time they got to the Sweet 16? It's been
a while.
It's been a good while, yeah.
So we'll follow along with that. So congrats to them. And then last night, let's talk about, you know, the Lady Blue Hose, because first time ever they end up winning the Peach or the South, the Big South, which was huge. And then they end up winning their first NCAA game in the process over Sacred Heart. And Sacred Heart, they played their hearts out. 49-42, the final in this one. A low-scoring affair. But two evenly matched teams, they end up breaking. PC does a 15-game winning streak of Sacred Heart.
Yeah. like I said, this is a team that's used to being there, and PC's not, but they were not affected. Stan said it earlier. They weren't affected at all playing at Colonial Life. I mean,
well, they had already played there one time mm-hmm. this year, so.
And they had their fans there.
And they, I will say that, I mean, as small, and they made mention of this on the broadcast last night, that PC is, by student body population, the smallest school in the tournament this year. And for them to get a win in the first game, in their first ever, you know, that's big. That's huge for that school. Mm-hmm. And that coaching staff, and they're going to be able to go out and get a few more players now.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, that Sacred Heart has a couple of really good ball players. Yep. Nasera Pryor, she was the little water bug, I should say, that made this engine go for Sacred Heart. She was all over the court, 7 steals, ended up with 7 rebounds in the process of all of that. She was 7 rebounds. She was just everywhere.
I know how you liked her. She reminded you of somebody, Landon.
She did. She reminded me a lot of my girl.
Sarah Cruz.
And what she was able to do. But the other one that was really good was Dudley. Nasaya Dudley. She, to me, when they needed some big points or when they needed to end a streak or keep a streak going or something of that nature, get a streak started, she was the one that they went to, and then she ended up fouling out with about 2 minutes to go in the game. But, you know, had she been in there the whole time, could Sacred Heart have pulled this out? We'll never know. But two really good players, and then they've got some really good defenders. What surprised me was how physical and how quick Sacred Heart was on the defensive side.
Right. I mean, you know, when she got in foul trouble, and that's kind of what hurt them also, but and the coach had no other thing to do but put her back in that game with the 4 fouls, and I mean, that's, she played well that way, so who knows?
Yep.
I've never let me hold on a second. This guy shooting free throws 98.1% from the line for the season. 98.1%. I think that's the highest percentage from the line I have ever seen in the game.
Is he a guard or is he a?
Oh, he's a guard.
Okay. Yeah, he's a. And he made it. So, anyway, I thought I'd jinx him real quick, but BYU had hoped to have jinxed him too. So, anyway, but yeah, like, good game last night. I mean, I think the coaching philosophy that the lady at PC has is really good. So,
well, one thing that she did do is Sacred Heart wanted to get out and run. They, and PC basically, she said no. I mean, they had their chances. How many times did they break the press and they had a chance at an open basket, right? Just an easy layup, and they elected to pull it back out and run their half court offense, knowing that time was on their side. Even with a 3-point lead, they were still pulling it out and not pressing through, not getting into Sacred Heart's type of game.
Well, you limit Sacred Heart's possessions, and if when you limit possessions, you limit points available for them. And, you know, of course, PC went, they owned the paint. I don't know, what was it, like 26 or 16 on the rebound, something weird. I don't remember, but PC won that part of the game, and that's where it's at.
But it was a good win all the way around. Yep. I like the fact that even Coach Donna Staley was there watching both. I don't know if she had a preference of who she wanted to see or not.
Oh, yeah, but she was pulling for them PC gals.
But, yeah, she was there watching the game. Fortunately, her team was not there. They were
Back at the hotel.
Back probably. At the hotel or, you know, watching game film on one of these teams or the other. But just kind of, guys, I'm going to go right into the women's game with PC and South Carolina. When you look at it with these teams and how it kind of matched up, go back to December, the first time that these teams ended up meeting this year was a big win overall. For the Lady Gamecocks, and kind of a tune-up for it. But this is going to be a little bit different because they're going to be without their starting center, Camelia Cordoza. So that may lead it back open for Maylee Brianna Bradley, the sixth-year center that they've got there that's 6'3". It's going to be more of an even keel as far as height goes, but you know, still, you got to get the advantage of South Carolina in that. But PC, for the most part, has two really good scores. One being Brady, who had a fantastic night last night. And the other was the shooting guard, the sophomore shooting guard,
from over there in Europe. Tilda, is it Slavist?
Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. That was close.
Better at pronouncing them.
That's what you're
saying. With more consonants and vowels and
yep.
everything.
But she's from Sweden is where she's from overall. So we'll see. But back in December, she had 15 points. Was 6 of 20 in the shooting department, including 3 from downtown out of the 9 that she ended up taking. And Brady, being the experienced leader, she was also in double figures. She had 15 points against South Carolina back in December to go along with that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the size advantage change a little bit, but it's still going to favor South Carolina.
Oh, it's going to favor South Carolina. And it's center for center. I mean, Ashlyn Watkins will be starting at center, and she's 6'3", so that's going to even out a little bit. I mean, yeah, Cordoza is 6'7". We will mention that. But I think when you start looking at the other players on the court, and you're looking at 6'2", 6'1", you know, at the power, at the forwards and all, and just the depth of South Carolina, I think, is going to be the biggest part of the difference. And you're going to see all 10 players from South Carolina play. That's going to be without question. I'm interested to see how the game's going to be called. We made the mention of some of the men's games that we've been watching, and the officials are just letting them play. I mean, it's been blood fest.
It's been bloody so far in
the Duquesne BYU game. Yeah, first possession with a bloody nose. So
with no whistle blown, you know. So maybe that's considered a basketball play now when you stick your elbow into the other guy's nose. Maybe it is.
We'll see. But this should be fun. By the way, I got the numbers. Enrollment for PC, 995. So. there you go.
And that's probably 995 pharmacy students.
Probably.
The majority of them probably are.
Yeah, which means they're not on the low end of the intellectual level here.
Yeah. So predictions for tomorrow night with South Carolina Presbyterian?
Won't win by 90, I can promise you that. But the key for me is, man, you got to go through this. This is a game you don't want to get anybody hurt. So – you know what they can do. We see them do it week in, week out. I don't even know if I play most of my starters, but maybe a half a basketball stand. I don't want any kind of injury that can occur because, they've already played the one time, and it could be 90 again if we play as hard as they like to play. First time we played them, everybody wanted to show what they could do because that was one of the first games we played in the year. I just go into it and just come back out of it like Watkins needs play.
Yeah.
What's the kid, the lady that's a senior that ain't got any playing time?
Walker.
Let her get the ball.
She is taller.
Yeah, she is.
She's up there about the 6'5 range.
Let's see what she can do. You know, poor Wally's coming off the bench. She doesn't want to play a lot. Chloe needs practice. I mean, so there's a lot of them that need the practice to play the game. But don't, like I said, winning that first game with that many points by 90 points, I just don't see Dawn keeping those girls in that game and making this another 90-100 point game. You heard Clyde, 120-9. So Clyde's been talking to Dawn, so he said she's going to run up on him. But
yeah, this may be a game where she plays him but rests him kind of a thing.
I don't think she'll let him score 100.
I just don't think she's going to take a chance on an injury because, I mean, anybody can land on an ankle like right there and twist your ankle. So you don't want to lose a player in a game. And I'm going to call it meaningless.
Yeah.
I think we do want to see PC play well against the Gamecocks because they're doing something they've never done before. They won their first game. I just don't see that this is a meaningful game other than for PC. And the thing you worry about is an injury happening to a Bree Hall or a Chloe Kitts gets an ankle turned over or something. And that's one good thing. I'm kind of happy Cordoza is not playing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But should be a fun game. I mean, Clyde's already sitting on win. What was it, Clyde?
120-9.
Okay.
Well, you know.
So Clyde's already thing, – Clyde said I was full of crap like he usually does. But see, if he got a free ticket, he wouldn't go.
Here's the thing that we, as South Carolinians, we have to be proud that we had two teams from a state as small as we are now.
Yeah.
We've got the smallest team in Division One. And now we got South Carolina, which we know South Carolina's not the largest student enrollment, but it's got a good good more, a few more numbers, and to have both of them in, and both of them playing, you know, do you call this the first round or do you call it the second round? I don't know.
Well, for PC, it's the second round. They've already picked up their first NCAA win. So.
And so how does that, how do they handle the emotions, the adrenaline and all that of winning that first one?
By throwing a parade today. That's how they do it.
Yeah, and, you know, and you do that, and then, you know, you know you got to come back and play against a team that really just took you to the woodshed early in the season. But now you say, okay, that was early in the season. We weren't together as a team. We weren't playing like we're playing now. We're a more formidable opponent, so to speak, now. And we know this time of year, anything can happen.
I'm going to go and say that South Carolina does end up winning, but I'm going to say 90-45.
I don't think Carolina will score 90.
You don't think they'll go that far? I think they will.
I think Dawn is going to let them play, but she's going. It's going to be sub after sub after sub, and
or force them to run certain plays that she wants them to work on.
That's the key. That's the key.
And I don't think she wants – she's not out there to embarrass PC. She's out there to get the win and a comfortable win. And people may be laughing at it tomorrow or the day after, you know, Carolina wins 80-45. You know, people are going to say, what's wrong with South Carolina? Why couldn't they score 126 and hold the other team to 9 like Clyde's thinking? But
Clyde's got the scoop. I don't have it down there, so he's got the scoop down there. But
Well, 2 o'clock is when PC and South Carolina get underway down there at Colonial Life Arena, and I believe that's tomorrow. Correct? Yes, mm-hmm. 22nd.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. Clyde will be glued. He won't be able to work. He'll be glued to the TV. What is he going to do?
And they did. And they are asking people to. Let me see if I can find the text. They sent out a message this morning that due to the game time, and they are in class down there, so parking will be at a premium. They have shuttle buses that are going to be running from the Key Road lots up to the stadium.
Wow, 40, that's a long way away.
And they're opening them up at 8:30 in the morning, and they're telling people to be there by 10:30. I mean, you know, and I don't know. It's crazy.
If you don't think they'll tow you down downtown Columbia, you're crazy. I'm telling you from experience. Because most of the good ones are at most of the really good restaurants, and you're not going to park in a hotel anyway. But there's not a whole lot of parking downtown. That's why they're going to use the shuttle buses. So listen to what they're saying, or else you're going to walk. It's going to be a long walk.
You're going to be walking along.
Well, you'll have time. If you get down there by 10:30, you're going to have a little
Well,
they're
telling
time
people to get there early. So.
And if they get you there to CLA, then you got restaurants around you. You'll be all right.
Well.
If I'm a student, I'm taking a day off.
They used to walk it anyway. Tyler.
Well, and probably so. There probably will be. Where is it now? If I can just find it.
I don't know.
They some of the professors may let them out, and you may not have as many.
Everybody here is getting ready for the big local focal event weekend number 2 to go around here at Howard's on Main and Uptown Greenwood. Cheyenne's got all the wine getting ready. Fantastic. And I don't know what Clyde's doing. He's just doing stuff.
He looks like he's stocking beer, but I think he got one in his pocket, so. No.
We'll see what ends up happening. But we got coolers of beer that's getting ready to head on out as all that gets underway. So come on out tonight if you get a chance, as well as tomorrow night and Saturday for local focal in and around the downtown area.
You got it right, finally, because you've been focal local. But but anyway, you know, you did a good job because I'm watching a basketball game and I'm not very talkative right now. But because my bracket's already busted, it's over.
Well,
I had Mississippi State and they lost, and now you know you already had another upset with
BYU going down.
Duchesne, which I should have picked that game. I watched them play, but Anyway, the Blue Jays are going to win this. They're going to win their game.
we'll get into it. Well, let's talk about the Big 4 versus 13 matchup. This should be fun. SEC's Alabama taking on none other than Coastal Carolina. The Cougars making it again for the second straight year. And last year didn't quite go the way they wanted to. They ended up losing to the fifth seed San Diego State last year. And this year seems a little bit more favorable, I think, against an Alabama team where you could see a little bit of the March Madness come out, I think, possibly later on.
It's a good shooting basketball team. Pat Kelson's a great basketball coach. Like I said, Alabama's a physical team, but you want to talk about physical. That was physical. San Diego State goes to the final, what, eight? The Elite Eight?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, that was a good basketball team, and like I said, they're still in it this year. But like I said, that was a – College of Charleston's the real deal. Like I said, Pat Kelson's been a good coach. He did this at Winthrop, so – Playoff. I mean, dances aren't anything he's new to.
Well, this is a game of contrasting styles. Well, Alabama wants to just get out and run, a lot like Kentucky. They don't want to play defense. They want to score the basketball, and they'll put it up from anywhere. Where Charleston's a little more wants to be a little more patient, slow the game down a little bit, and. Let's work the ball around and try to get some good shots. Here again, as we've seen, I want to see what the officials are going to call, what they're not going to call.
But this is two teams that are in the top offensively. I mean, both these teams love to score in the process. So defense will be at a premium if they can find it in and around there. But folks are saying that this could be 170 points total or more.
But this could be a game, too, where the team that just comes in and plays maybe top 50 level defense wins the ball game. Teams can score. So it's just who's going to have the basketball last and who's going to be willing to kind of sacrifice the body, get a few rebounds, a couple of steals. And just like we yesterday with the Sacred Heart, or the PC girl game, huh? Had seven steals. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one person to have seven steals in a basketball game, that's pretty doggone good.
Remember, she was only 5'3", and she went in with those giants up there at 6'3", just
legs, you know. But, I mean, but you never know, and that's what you start looking at these teams. I mean, I know everybody's filling out brackets, and you start looking at these teams, and the one thing I always look for is who is that player that's on any of these teams that they might don't have to be a starter. It can be somebody coming off the bench that just for one game they come off the bench and can do no wrong. You know, they light it up, score double digits in points, get double digit rebounds, or if they don't get double digit rebounds, they're getting steals and having, you know, 6-8 assists. And this is where Charleston might, you know, you could come up. I'm not saying Alabama may be overlooking Charleston a little bit. They don't need to be playing us.
We'll see what happens. Their leading scorers are guards. I mean, Mark Sears is averaging 21 points a game, 4 rebounds a game. Aaron Estrada, the senior, also 6'3", averaging 13.5 points a game. The big guy that they've got is Grant Nelson, who's 6'11". He's averaging 12, but there's nobody else after that that's averaging more than 6 or 7 points a game. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get the big men involved with that. You know, Alabama gets the big men involved. When you look at the other side, it's kind of the opposite because you got Antoine Brovic, who's a junior forward, averaging 12 points a game. Ben Burham, a forward, averaging 11.7 points a game. You got the senior forward in Frankie Pollard, who's averaging almost 10 points a game right now. So, and they've only got one guard, and he's averaging almost 10 in Kobe Rogers right now. So it's going to be an inside-out kind of a thing between
– Charleston spreading the wealth.
Yeah.
You have one of the – I think you mentioned three that were double-digit scores. One of those guys has a bad night, or you play good defense on that one guy. You got five playing forward in. Five's usually going to win.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
But it's going to be fun.
To watch this game go up and down. Here's the history of the NCAA tournament with number four seeds. They are 120-32 against the 13 seeds, good for about 78% winning percentage to go along with that. So that's the fourth highest winning percentage of any seed that is out there as of right now. And you'll never guess the three higher than that. If you guess the one seed, you're right. The two seed, you're right. And the three seed, you are correct. Other than that, it drops to the four seed. So it's been one, two, three, four.
I think I saw one that they said the nobody under the number of teams that are below the four line that have made it is like minuscule. I mean, very, very few make it even to where it's.
Well, the last time you had a four end up losing was Furman taking down Virginia back in 23. So, wasn't too long ago when all that ended up happening.
You know, Alabama fouls a lot. They're a physical team. And you call Grant Nelson and Andre Brozalov, or from Croatia, both of them 6'11", both of them 235. I mean, so what will the refs let them do? I mean, if they let Charleston play defense and Charleston can start hitting some threes, I had no problem taking that four seed out, I can tell you that. I don't look at just the fact that they're from the SEC, because that was one of the first games I picked, because I watched this Charleston team play a good bit, and they're well coached. And that's the one thing I want. I'm not a big Nate Oates fan because he allows things to happen. Last year it was the gun thing situation. This year it's a different odds maker. This year he's being recruited by about five teams for head coaching jobs that are going to be done this week. So if they were to lose this game, he's not coming back. He's going to probably take the Ohio State job or whichever one's already offered. But this is a game that the refs let them play, Alabama can win. If they let them play defense and Charleston gets hot, Bama's going down.
Do you think 9.5 points favorites, is that too many points?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because like I said, this is a – and when we talk about Alabama, second in the SEC in scoring. Okay. Two of those games are against Kentucky, the highest team. They don't play like you say, Stan, they don't play defense either. Their first game that I saw Alabama play was Auburn, because they were forced to play defense against a Bruce Pearl team. So if Pat Kelsey does like I think he'll do, and he goes to that Auburn game and he watches that game, he sees a way to beat Alabama. Now, Mark Seals is a real deal. He's going to probably score just 25, but I like Charleston in this game. I really do.
Well, you're not alone. There's a lot of folks that are taking Charleston and the Cougars over the Tide.
And it's not just us local guys.
No, this is nationwide.
There's some national people that are saying, Alabama, you better put on your shoes and lace them up tight, because this team's coming to whoop your tail.
Well, when you look at just breaking down the quad wins, they're 97th, the Cougars are, in the nation. They were 0-1 in quad 1, 1-2 in quad 2 wins, 11-4 in quad 3 wins, and 14-0 in quad 4 wins to go along with all that. So offensive efficiency ranking, they're 58th. Defensively, they're 179th. So this is going to be track meet. Strap them on, lace up the shoes. They may be changing shoes at halftime just because all the rubber being burnt.
What's impressive about the quad you're talking about there, not quad 4. Your quad 4 is your conference games. And to have the record that they had playing in the conference they play in is pretty good. Like I said, this should be a pretty good game. Guard play will be a key to this thing, man. But like Stan said, somebody's going to come up defensively and have the big night. And like I said, Brogdonvich or whatever, how you say his name, is going to be the guy that's going to do it for Charleston probably. So we'll see. But they got a whole Mark Sears down. That kid, he can score 30 in a heartbeat.
Well, you can let him score 30.
You can go box one if you want. Yeah.
If you hold one of their other guys down.
You can run box one.
And your fours and fives and sixes score more points than their four, fives, and sixes do. That's how you win the ball. That's how you beat these Caitlin Clark-type teams or these players that the Tennessee with Dalton Connect. You hold him down and force Tennessee's other four players to score the ball. I mean, it's...
Yeah, we didn't have two good success. Well, we did one time, but...
You know, I mean, it's...
Sam's right, though. I mean, when I was saying boxing one, you usually see that around center.
That's where your bench comes into play, you know. How many bench points can I get? And if the Charleston bench scores more than the Alabama bench, Charleston might just hang an L on the A. Yeah.
Well, travel will be an issue for both of these teams because they're both going all the way out to Spokane, Washington, to Veterans Memorial Arena for this one. So, the geography thrown out the window in all this. But they'll be playing tomorrow night, 7:30. It'll be on True TV. 7:35, actually, is when they get underway. So, looking forward to this one getting gone. So
What channel is True TV? I don't even know if I get that channel.
I got that one. I don't have ESPN.
We may show up at your house.
Yeah, come on down. Fiber is like 235 or somewhere around there. So,
Lord, here we go. I'm gonna have to borrow Chris's notebook to write all these weird channels down to find these games.
All right, so we're all in agreement that Cougar's going to win this one.
I like Charleston.
I'm giving them a shot.
All right, everybody going that way. Well, let's talk about the Tigers up in them their heels. Going to be taking on New Mexico here in the 2024 March Madness. First round gets underway, and this will be taking place tomorrow night. This should be a late one to go along with all that. I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lobos do. When you look at them, the Lobos a lot like NC State. They had to win 5 games in order to get an automatic bid. Now, could they have gotten in? Yeah, they could have gotten in. I think still based on their record and what it would have been, but they may have been a 15, maybe a 16 seed in that regard. Yeah. But because they won, they end up being the 13 seed to go along with it. And you look at the odds, Vegas is giving the Lobos 2.5 more than Clemson, but you look at the talking heads, everybody's saying that Clemson should win this one rather easily. And if you're a Clemson fan, and B-Rand's not here as of right now.
Rick, you have to weigh in since Rick is a Tiger, by the way. But – go ahead.
We'll see how the Tigers end up doing. You got to be a little anxious, as particularly the way that you played coming down your last 3 games in the regular season versus what you did against Boston College in the ACC tournament.
Well, here's the thing, too, though. Who's going to show up behind the bench for Richard? Is Daddy, since he got slighted by St. John's, slighted by the NCAA, Daddy may show up for that game.
He'll be there.
Daddy's got a little bit of experience in this tournament. Clemson has another advantage. I think Clemson has played in this arena this year.
Yeah, they lost to Memphis in this arena by 2.
So they played there. They made that travel. So, they probably stay in the same hotel. So, things will be a little more familiar. And they're only going one time zone, where New Mexico State will be coming out of 2, maybe 3, depending. I don't know what Albuquerque is. But and I don't think New Mexico State's played one east of the Mississippi this year. So
they played 2, actually. But is a game, I've been defending Clemson all year long, and I've already picked this guy to be the next head coach at Clemson if he wants the job, but if they do get rid of Brian Hill. But the thing about this and what you said about Rick Pitino and Daddy, this is the reason if I am Clemson and they lose this game to him, I sign him right then and there. I don't even let him go back to New Mexico. He can ride back with Graham Neff if he wants to.
Well, I don't know if Richard will want to leave. He's been out there, 6, 8 years
well,
now?
Well, he was in Minnesota. His first – really big coaching job was in the Big Ten at Minnesota. He was there about 5 or 6 years. I don't really know how long he's been at New Mexico, but I can tell you what he's done in the 4 or 5 years he's been there. He's gone to every NBA player that's got kids old enough to come to college, and they're playing on this team. That's what's scary for me against Clemson.
Well, here's you talking about those players. Jalen House, 17 points a game. Jamal Mashburn Jr., 14 points a game. Donovan Dunt, 14 points a game. JT Toplin, 12.5 points a game. Those are just your, 4 of your starting 5.
That's Eddie House's son. That's Toppin Sr. that played at your Bulls, by the way. And Mashburn Jr., his daddy was amazing as a basketball player. And this kid's got the size to do the same thing. It's going to come down to two things. Sam's always talking about PJ got to get a couple of rebounds. PJ's got to get points. But Chase Hunter's got to be the guy in this game. If Clemson's going to win, Chase is going to have to score at least 20.
He's going to have to be in double figures, period.
He's going to have to be up there because, like I said, he's also your assist guy. He's also, like I said, but he also turns the ball over. And Shefflin's got to get in there and get those 10 rebounds that he averages for the year, 9.5. But PJ's got to get the points first and foremost. And that puts the pressure on Shefflin. I'd say Godfrey. Who else you got coming off the bench?
Wiggins.
That's your guys. It's got to be those guys, and they got to allow PJ to do what he's supposed to do on that team and stay out of foul trouble first and foremost. I think that's why whenever Brown says he's a role player, he knows his role, and I need to go down and get rebounds. Yeah.
He's going to be matched up with Nelly Jr. Joseph too, and you're gonna see a 6'10" guy against a 6'7" guy, pretty even. But Joseph is a little stockier, a little bigger. It's going to be harder to move him out from under the.
He's a ball player, man. I don't really know what his average is for the year because he doesn't start a lot of games. I can get you the stats, but he comes in mostly to replace
8.8 a game and 8.1 rebounds a game.
It's almost two double doubles. Yeah. So this guy off the bench is pretty solid.
The thing that's going to intrigue me on this is if it comes down late in the ball game, who has the best, which team and players does their basketball knowledge, their understanding of the game, the situation. Is it the sons of those NBA players that grew up in the game, or is it the kids at Clemson that, you know, grew up playing the game, well coached, I mean, know the game, got a decent basketball IQ, but maybe these other guys' IQs a little bit higher. And when it's late in the ball game, you know, maybe it makes a difference, maybe it don't. And then it's going to come down to coaching too.
That's one thing it comes down to.
Does Patino just flat out coach Bronnell from the get go, or does it
being
does,
the younger coach? I don't, you know, you never
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you so. Never know, and you know, not have. I mean, you've had what? 4 days a week, so to study the game film of each other. So New Mexico State knows what Clemson likes to do with PJ. They know what they like to do with Shefflin. They know what they like to do. And the same like Clemson's looking at New Mexico State saying, okay, this is what they like to do on this out of bounds. This is what they like to do here, there.
State's a lot like Wake Forest, in my opinion. They've got the bigger guards and the smaller big guys under, you know, that are underneath. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, we see the trouble that Clemson has had with those guys. They split it with Wake Forest 1-1. So,
but does the bigger guard playing on Girardi, does that – he's your shooting guard. I mean, we talked about this mm-hmm. earlier. Clemson's got to find another shooter and not be 6'10 P.J. Hall. You know, another guard. And does this, you know, Chase Hunter, you know.
That's who,
this is the kid that, you know, we taught every team's got to have that one player that's going to step up. And I think for Clemson, PJ's going to get his points. Okay, we know that. Shefflin's going to get his 8 to 12 rebounds. I mean, that's just how he is. I mean, he's just that – he's a rebounder. And then Girardi, you know, does he get on a hot streak and start and knock down a few threes? Or does that bigger guard cause him more problems?
Yeah. The thing is, with coming off of bad losses, Clemson has come out with wins after losses of 15 points or more. They've come out with wins. So that's got a little bit of favoritism towards the Tigers in this one. I'm sitting here thinking New Mexico State is just a sleeper out of all of this. Really is. You don't know how fresh their legs are going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, all that emotion that they used up over the course of the weekend and stuff with five games. You know, same with MC State.
And then, like you said, with them having to play the five games and having to travel a little bit further, you know, that's going to take, you know, a little more out of them. are they going to be as fresh and paying attention to the little details that they need to be paying attention to?
I still say the first one to 70 wins this game, in my opinion.
I think
both of them will make 70, but I think the first one
will win. Do you think the winner of this game is going to be looking at Baylor square in the face?
You know, I'm not sold on the Big 12 in regard, but we'll see. I picked Baylor to win that.
I did too. That's why I was saying that. I was wondering.
I'm not going against Scott Drew. That is the coach there. Well, here's the thing. You got New Mexico 82 points a game. Clemson's at 75. That's what, 5-6 points right off the bat for an average. Now, I want to see where Stan goes with this one, because we always talk about it. We know they don't play in the ACC. They play in a little bit different conference and everything, but defensively they're the same. 70.5 to 70.3. So defensively they're even. So what'd you say? 70 to,
I said, yeah,
first team.
You're right at it. You're right at it, man. This was a game. I haven't watched New Mexico the last two or three games they played. I just see the experience off of these guys. And I mean, I'm not saying that it mattered growing up in the NBA locker room like these kids like Mashburn and House and Toppin and Dent, but I mean, they've learned the game from the time they were a kid. My question, and the one I want to see more than anything else, is, like I said earlier, if Clemson comes into this game and they lay an egg, is this it for Brano?
I don't think so. I think the fact that he got him here at least earns him another year.
But then how many people go back to last year when they didn't make it? And we all felt like Clemson should have, and there were a lot of great arguments of why they should have been in. He didn't get in last year. He gets in this year and loses in the first round. What does that, And, okay, this year, he's an older team. He's one of the older teams in this whole big dance deal. He ought to be going past the first, second. He ought to be into at least the Sweet 16.
Yeah, a lot of people are
and
saying
it's
he's
possibly
there,
he can get to the Sweet 16, and it's because he has the older players. If they're willing to play for him, I don't.
B-Rad walked off on
him. He's not Amanda Butler, though. So
all I'm going to say is this. I mean, all we keep hearing from fans, like, even Howard says stuff about it, but I want to replace him. And I'm like, well, who would you get to replace him? I'm telling you right now, Richard Pitino would be the guy. He's 10 years younger than Brownell, but this guy knows how to build a program. I mean, it's as simple as that. And if you don't like Brownell, and every year you're coming in with woe is me like I did with Frank Martin, I mean, I want Frank on every year he came into the whole deal. But Brownell, I like him. I like him, and like I told you, there are a bunch of people in Georgia that would love to see them Bulldogs skip across the lake and the pond, as they say, and land. Brownell is a head coach. They like what he does. You just can't compete with Duke North Carolina every year recruiting. That's just tough to do, and that's why I give him the praise I give Brownell. But like I said, if you're going to replace him and you lose this game, this is who I'm telling you. You want a younger coach that's experienced, and his dad's basically whatever you want to call him. He's a legend in the game of college basketball. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, I like Brownell, and I'm not a Tiger, so I can't really speak on it. But I just hear a lot of the naysayers that will want him out, so. I mean, I got a whole list for him, I'm telling you. That's what I did last week. We rather want a younger coach, and I've got 20 names right there.
Oh, you started sending me names, and I was like, yes, no.
And they're good coaches, though.
No way, and you know where.
A lot of them that you don't know. It's like saying there's a guy at South Alabama. This guy's 29 years old, and he's already a head coach in the Sun Belt Conference. And he has a really pretty good record in the 3 years he's been there. That's young. That's a minority head coach that you may be looking for. I mean, I don't know about that, but I like I said, I like Brownell, but it's not going to be my decision. But if you were, I think this would be the game to do it. If he didn't win this game, maybe that's it. Maybe Graham Neff says enough.
Well, I think he needs to win this game. I'll agree. But if he doesn't win this game, or even if he goes to the Sweet 16 this year, what he does next year is going to be – his fate's going to be determined by what he does next year. What he can he go out and recruit? He needs to get Clemson moving up in the ACC instead of being in the bottom third or in the middle. He needs to start finishing the year in that top four.
Well, last year they were in the top four.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and this year, but this year he had one game. He only had to beat one team, and he could have finished in that top four again, and they couldn't get it done. And was it Wake Forest had a great game? I don't, you know.
Well, they're the hot team right now.
They were the hot team.
I mean, they're dominating Georgia Tech right now.
But that's been kind of the mantra of these Brownell coach teams is they start the year off great. They'll have a little rough spot in the middle. And then they'll win some. And then all of a sudden they start backsliding.
I'm still happy with them. The thing I'm not happy with is the roller coaster ride. I mean, yeah, and that's what a lot of the Tiger fans don't like is that the up and down of it. Mm-hmm. But you're still getting, you know, 10 losses. You got 20 plus wins to go. I mean, you got to be happy with
that. That's a good year.
You live in a Gamecock world when you talk about roller coaster, buddy. I'm talking about derailments. You talk about being a Gamecock, but great year. I'm telling you, good year.
But I think this goes back to that the new athletic director that they've got. He's already pulled the trigger on getting rid of Amanda Butler. This guy wants every sport winning and winning consistently. Now, he may give Brownell another year to see what he does recruiting this year and see what kind of team he can put on the floor next year, since he does have an older team this year. And it doesn't matter if he gets beat or, you know, now if he went all the way and won a national championship, yeah, they going to hand him a Dawn Staley-type contract and say, here's 22.5, stay with us for a while.
Here's what I don't know that I haven't followed about Brownell. I know he's done it because he got Girard out of the portal from Syracuse. I don't know how, and I think that may be the way you rebuild his team.
Yeah.
I don't think he minds doing it. I know that we all know that Dabo's not a big portal guy, but I think Brownell is, and I think he would be if he had to do it this way. And I imagine there's going to be teams he's going to see that's going to have some players. They're going to be really good players that he's going to probably just go ahead and mark on his list, and he's going to show Graham Neff on the plane ride home or whatnot it's going to be. But like I said, this is a game that you got to make a decision. I mean, you don't have to decide this fate or anything, but you go out and they lose this game by 15. How do you feel as a Tiger?
You don't feel good.
I know you happy as a Gamecock, but
I see where you're coming from, but at the same point, and I hate to say it, but it's about the money. How much money is that athletic director willing to put into the basketball program to make all the Clemson, to get the Clemson off the roller coaster ride in basketball that they've been in, and to get them on a firm footing?
I had his stat here. Brownell's making $4.5 million.
Roughly, yes.
Something, yeah.
A year. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it's another thing you look at. Are you getting paid pretty good money, because we only played Paris, what, five? Did he get six?
He got a big raise this.
But he also got it started in it from scratch now. So it depends on what Brownell. So you got $4.5 million to a coach, and he doesn't make it last year. He makes it this year. You know, that's why I think this game means so much to Clemson. I think it's a must-win game. If not, then Graham Neff, pull the trigger, man. If get Richard Pitino as your head coach. B-Rad, you like Richard Pitino? Would he be a replacement for you? He's 10 years younger. I know you want younger, but – oh, by the way, I got you 20 pages here of coaches that are younger than that. that are great coaches that are just smaller schools. But I think it's must-win. But like I said, Rick, B-Rad, y'all are in good shape because I picked New Mexico to win. I ain't won a game yet. I'm 0-3 in the tournament, so – Tigers should win this game.
But if they don't, does that put Brownell on the hot seat for next year? Or is he?
I think he'll be here next year.
And next year, even if he's not on the hot seat at the beginning of the year, toward the middle of the season,
if he has a losing season,
maybe it starts getting a little warm.
If he has a losing season, yeah. I'd say yes.
But it should be fun. Number six, yep. Clemson Tigers taking on number 11, New Mexico Lobos.
It's going to be an entertaining game.
3:10 on True TV tomorrow afternoon out there at FedEx Forum. We'll see if Clemson go 1-1 out that way. Hoping that they do, fingers crossed, knock on wood and everything else.
Well, we want the South Carolina teams to win. We want them to play well.
All right. So that leads us to South Carolina taking on Oregon. And this is going to be, you know, another one of those really, really fun games that you're going to end up watching. 4 o'clock Eastern time tonight gets underway here in about, 20 minutes or so. You know, South Carolina 26-7, Oregon 23-11. Oregon had to, you know, kind of go that way. They had, 4 games they had to win in order to get into this tournament? In the process of all that. And both of these teams, I would say, very good defensively. This could be, you know, Oregon does have the higher offense, but South Carolina, we've seen what their defense does. Your offense, you're going to have to subtract 10, 15 points when you play the Gamecocks just based on the type of defense that they run.
We're not physical enough basketball team, and we're going to have to come out and we're going to have to hit high percentage threes. I mean, for us to win this game, it's going to have to be a three-point shooting contest. And Meechie's going to go 5 for 5 to start this game like he did the tournament, Stan.
Yeah.
Meechie got hot early, but, I mean, you play, and like I said, you got 2 7-footers in the game, and we don't play well with physical teams. We just don't. We don't push it around, and that's why I got Stan something right here. And I'm going to lay it on the table.
Oh, no, we done pulled out the duck hat.
I done pulled the duck hat out. I'm not going to put it on.
Pulled out the duck hat.
I took the Gamecocks in my main poll, but I think that team wins today. So I think and my poll's already busted, so I'm definitely going to pull for the Gamecocks. I don't think they can go through round two. I think Carolina's the only team out of those two that can play with Creighton. I do think Carolina sets up better with Creighton than they do them. I just think the biggest that they got, and then – I always like to throw the tangent in there. Jermaine Cousinard, who played for old Frank at Carolina, he got hot in the tournament, Tom.
He's 77, almost 16 points a game.
Yeah, but 77%, 64 from three, never misses a free throw. Now, he might miss 20 today, but like I said, I think that's who's going to – these 2 7-footers, they're going to get their points. They always do. And Vale Dante and then the other one. And then, like I said, Dante's a double-double machine anyway. So, I hope it's a good game. And like I said, I'll definitely be pulling for my Gamecocks. But I brought that so Stan can see it so he does know I have it. I do pull for Oregon in other sports. And it's just like I said, this is to me, to be picked to be in the last in your conference, and you come out and you play this way, and you got a head coach that's up for some coaches of the year, SEC coach of the year already, probably going to be up for national. And to play this well with basically a lot of the same guys he had from last year. Main distraction last year was Gigi Jackson.
Yep.
The one and done. And that's what I'm saying about, like, NILs and stuff like that. Gigi used the 1 year to play here, thanks to old Frank. to get the career he got going in the NBA. He's going to be a good player. I think that, but if he gets with the right team, but he's not there with us this year. And this is a game I think we can win, and I think we can move on forward. I think we can beat Creighton. I mean, they're a good basketball team, don't get me wrong, but I just think this is a game that, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of pressure on us. I think to have been picked to finish last, like I said, I think this is a great year, and I think all the fans and everybody's going to turn around and look at it. It's a great year.
So is Oregon the more athletic team?
I won't say athletic. I'm just saying big. Right. They're physical. I mean,
but they're not Auburn athletic and physical.
Yeah, I mean, you got 2 7-footers. I mean, that are 250, 260. I mean, we only got Josh Gray. I mean, we're going to have to put Talon Cooper down there, and that's going to hurt us there because he's been getting some fouls lately, and that's what worries me. The guys that's got to hit today is Meechie. Meechie's been one of the guys, when he has scored in double figures, he's proved me right and he's proved me wrong. I need you to prove me right today. And let me see. Oh, yeah. They're already putting their clothes on.
I'm waiting to see just how healthy Oregon is. We know that all season long they've dealt with injuries, illnesses, whatnot. And the same thing here. They had to play 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
They're flying into Pittsburgh, which, coming from Oregon, that's a couple of time zones. And after playing 5 games, and South Carolina's had a couple of days of rest, have had a you know, both teams have had the same amount of time to study each other, but there's not a lot of teams in the tournament or that play this style of basketball that Lamont Paris is playing with his players. And I think it is slow. It's methodical.
Defense
and
is
good. It lures
as long as Michi is it
to sleep. I mean, even if Michi doesn't hit him, it's the same thing. He's gonna let him put him up. Michi's gonna shoot the three. I mean, he'll step across half court and throw one up. Lamont's not gonna say anything to him, but you know,
Tom. Two weeks ago, Dana Altman was gonna be fired at Oregon for not making the tournament. Already a done deal. The AD had already said, we're looking. Who are they looking at? Richard Pitino. I'm just saying, that kid's going to have a job somewhere other than New Mexico after this tournament. But like I said, I mean, and then they had to win the tournament. They did. And they played. Look who they beat. Who did they beat? Let's see. They beat USC for one, who had been first in that league pretty much the whole year. And they beat Colorado, a team that actually won it. And it's a really good basketball team because you watched them play last night.
Yep.
Really, really good team out of the pack this year. The end of the pack, we might as well say. This is the end of basketball now in the Pac-12. So, it should be a fun game. Like I said, if it comes down to defense, I think we really got a good shot. But if it comes down to physical, I don't know that we got anybody that can get in there and bang.
Well, outside is B.J. Mack. I mean
– well, B.J.'s going to be in there.
He's going to be – and he'll bang with the best of them.
He will. And I threw it on Talon Cooper, but it is. B.J. Mack's the guy. B.J.'s had the last month or two for B.J.'s been solid.
Well, and I'm looking at Colin Murray Boyles, although he is a freshman and going into, you know, is he that guy that likes the spotlight on? And
I think he is, and I think he's going to want the ball.
I think he is, too. I think he's going to want the ball. He'll get in there amongst the bigs. Get position, hold position, get some sneaky rebounds, he's so quick off the floor to get to the ball.
Against Arkansas, he was great. Against Auburn, he was horrible.
Yeah.
He had Michi-itis in that game, which Michi played better in that game, but, I mean, he was 1-for-10, and that's more like a Michi number there. He's got to be huge. I don't think spotlight's going to be nothing for him. I think CMB's ready for this.
I think the player that's got to step up is Josh Gray underneath.
Well, and he's gotten better every year that he's been at Carolina. And anybody that
saw him. We're just happy for that.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that saw him come in as a freshman, you know, you hear, well, we got a 7-2 guy coming in. You're thinking, okay, we're going to be something now. And then you see him, but you look at him now and what his body looks like compared to what it was when he came in. He's changed his whole body. And I think changing his body, getting with Lamont, it's just been a transformation, and he's listened to what the coaches have told him, and he's going to work. Now, is he going to step outside like P.J. Hall and take a three? No. He don't hardly hit layups, but he'll throw it through the bottom on a dunk in a heartbeat.
I'm going to give you my pick for the game. All right. I already picked Carolina main backup, but I am pulling. I like Oregon in this game. Zachary Davis is going to be my player that's got to do something.
Could be.
He or Jacoby Wright. We talk about bench players. Yeah. Jacoby coming off the bench. Jacoby's got some height to him. Yeah. What's impressed me about B.J. Mack is the fact of where he played last year and what he's come into. Southern Conference. And we saw it 2 years in a row with the Clark kid last year from Central, and then now. B.J.'s going to have his points. Let's just hope B.J. don't have his fouls. But I think Zach Davis is going to be the key to this game. And he and CMB, and I need Michi to hit something. He's the leading scorer on the team. I didn't realize that. He's the leading scorer, 13.2 a game. So we'll see how our freshmen do, how our sophomore with Zachary Davis does. And, I mean, keep Cousinart off the ball. I mean, that's the key for me for them. Cousinart's got to have a huge game. I don't know what he averaged for the year, but probably about 15.
All right. So by the time you hear this podcast, you'll know who the winner is going to be out of
it's
all
probably
of this.
Argued because I've already picked a Gamecocks. And that would make me 0-5.
All right. So it gets underway today, 4 o'clock, which is about 10 minutes away from now. Underway. So we'll follow along. Hope your bracket isn't as busted as Chris's is. You lost the first 3 games already in this beginning.
They weren't
of
close,
the,
by the way. I got this one. I'm confident with this one. So.
You were confident with the other three.
No. Well, I'm going to tell you, I am confident in Charleston. So when I come in and if Alabama beats them by 50, I got to eat crow. I'm fine with that.
Well, they got some good barbecue sauce.
They do, man. I haven't got the best barbecue sauce in town for that crow. And I'm going to kill the crow myself.
All right. We'll talk about it, break it all down again on Monday, along with the big track meet results. Greenwood High has their first home track meet of the season tonight as well. So we'll see if we can't get the results for that
for
you.
Tally.
That's coming up on Monday here on the Lakeland Sports Guys. Have a great weekend.